Kira Boisai, let's begin. We're back on. A few minutes until 12 o'clock. Okay, let's discuss the mitzvah. In this week's parasha, we have the Aseres HaDibros. In the Aseres HaDibros, one of the Diburim, the Dibros, is Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha. One should give honor to his father and his mother. Does that mitzvah apply to a father and a mother who are no longer in this world? Is there a way to give honor to a parent when they are no longer in this world?
Yes.
So it goes without saying that, of course. And the way a person gives cover to the father is by being mekayim the mitzvahs. And in fact, I'm going to just quote you with some fascinating things over here. Everything I'm telling you is from, we used to, once upon a time, we used to go through every parasha. Aitzer Pilos HaTorah. I didn't go to every parasha, we went to many of the parashios, some of them. So these are things that we didn't, I've marked off what I did, what we didn't do. This we never did, this is new. And there's a Zoyar. The Zoyar says something that is shocking. Omdam b'Zoyar Kodesh parash d'chukoy sa'i kosov shakibud avoim shemekayim la'achar misasam. The honor a person gives his parents after they passed away, godol yoiser me'akibud av shemekayim b'chayehem. The kibud avoim you do after we're passing the Torah. L'man yarichun yomech l'man yitavlach. A person can make a mistake. I think that once the parents pass away, it's no longer possible to receive the bracha of arichas yomim. And ulaman yitavloch, and all of its various meanings, long life in this world, long life in the next world. It should be good for you in this world, good for you in the next world. There are many different meanings of the word ulaman yitavloch. It should be good. In parashas of Eschanan, there it has the word yitav toiv. Here it says ulaman yarichun yomecha al hodama. So one can make a mistake. I think there is no reward. It's not longer possible. The Zohar says adrava. The kibud av o'im that you can do for a parent after the pass away is even greater. Why? Because ki kasha ben halach b'derech hayosha al pi ha'Torah, when a child is observant and does what is correct according to the Torah, harayhu mechabed es aviv yasimai b'olam hazev. In this world, people say, "Oh, look at the product they produced." The gam mechabdam b'olam ha'emes. He's mechabed them in the next world, in the olam ha'emes. We have emunah that in the next world, when a person does a mitzvah, when their child does a mitzvah, then the neshama in the next world, that's nachas shel banam ba'olam hazeh. Yesh lachem sham nachas mimaisav hatovim shel banam ba'olam hazeh. Therefore, he's saying an incredible chiddush. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you do an hag tova. It is an act of kibud avrim. I'll give you a mashal yesterday. We had a whole discussion yesterday. A shul that I daven has a big chair. There's a person who comes there, is humongous, he's a very large person, and he doesn't sit, and he can't sit in a regular chair, because he's just too big. So for him, they have this, like a recliner chair, very nice, big recliner chair, because unfortunately, that's the way it is, he's just too big. So he's only there during the day. So comes the Ma'ariv, people come into shul. So it's very interesting, most people wouldn't dare sit in that chair, because the chair is a big chair. Obviously, it's meant for someone very important, very choshuv, everyone else a regular chair. Who do you think you are to sit down in the chair that is that's very, very big,
cost
right?
Made.
Cost a big chair. So people come into shul, and you see sometimes children, they sit in the chair. And then there are children that wouldn't dare sit in the chair. So someone made the observation to me, he says, look, you'll see. The kids that do not sit in the chair, they come from a home where there's chinuch. Where the parents are machan, the parents take an interest in their upbringing. They give them musar. They know exactly what they're doing every moment of the day. The parents produce them in order to raise them to become God-fearing Jews. And the kids, you'll see, that will come in and do sit in the chair. Take note, the parents are not mechanech them. They're weeds. They gave birth to them. and you know, leave me alone. I have my life, you have your life. Yeah, we'll feed you.
Like a cat.
We'll pay. We'll pay the rent.
Moshe's grandson once sat down in his chair during davening, and he didn't want to get up. They had to drag him out.
Okay, okay, it's a generalization. Okay, obviously, it's a generalization. I pay note of this, and it's really true. Because I know the parents. And I know certain kids will sit down. I know the parents, they're like the wild people. They're just wilde people. That's right, the wilde people, the kids are wilde people. The kids, they don't really walk, sit down in the chair. And then the kids that are more, their parents are very disciplined. They're dignified people. These kids, they come and they see the same chair. They won't even think of sitting in the chair. Because at home, they wouldn't sit in their father's chair.
They would ask, though, if they would.
They wouldn't even ask. It's not, you come from a home. You come from a place where you were raised. By somebody. It shows. When a person is a dignified person, you know what that means? Even today, you have a person, an 80-year-old person walking in the street, there are dignified people, and there are people that are just rotten apples. A person who's a dignified person is being mechabit his father 80 years after he was born. Because if you're a dignified person, it means someone raised you. Someone invested in you, koichos, you're a product of a father, of a home. When you act in a dignified way, that gives, who raised you? Where did you come from? And when a person is just a wild man walking the streets, it's also a bizarre to your parents you were married. Now, it's a generalization. Because, you know, life has a way of doing things to people that you never, so it's with children, when the kids are still very little, it's much different. When they get a little bit older and they experience life and they get burnt, and they get into a lot of trouble, okay, things can change a lot. But when a child is still in the shelter by a parent and not in the sheltered from the nastiness and the ugliness of the world, then it's right away nicker who comes from a home, who does not. Yeah.
But you can't generalize because...
You can't generalize, I agree with you.
Neighbors, kids once came and they were jumping on them in the living room all around. And I said to them, you do it home, Dad? And I said, no,
yes.
My mother doesn't allow. So she has kids.
I agree. You can't generalize. It's true. It's true. You can't generalize, but there is truth to what I just said, to a degree. To a degree. Not 100%, because you don't know, you know, there are so many parents that did everything right. Everything right, and yet it didn't work out. And there are parents that did everything wrong. Whatever you can possibly do wrong, they did it. And their children are gems. So there are exceptions. I acknowledge that.
These siblings are very different.
I acknowledge that. But there's a certain sprach. There's a certain, and it's because I observed this statement and I watched in shul. And it's definitely true.
It is.
I see the kids, who just come and sit down. I know their parents. They're wild people. And the kids that don't even think of doing it, their parents, they're much more disciplined.
There's an expression now. I have forgotten.
Fall far from the tree. Okay, let's go further.
Excuse
yes.
me. Avshalom and Abiyahu.
Yes.
The mother didn't give them chinuch.
I told you it's not, you can't, there are exceptions. You're right, there are exceptions. I'm just saying this, just to throw this out, because the Zohar says that mechabdoi la'achar moitzo is even greater. How is it greater? Because whenever a child behaves correctly, there's what's yashar, people say, he comes from a home. He comes from a home. And it is an honor for the parent. Now, I'm going to tell you something now from what's called from the Yisoid, the Sherish Ravoida. Asherite. It's a kiddush for the parents. It's a kavod var. Now, I'm going to tell you something now from the Yisoid, the Sherish Ravoida. This is an old sefer. From Alexander Ziskin, Rav Moshe Mehur Donna. Rodna. When was it printed? When did he live? Tav Kuf Mem Beis.
Late
1800s.
Late 18th century.
150 years ago. 150 years ago. The Yisoid V'Sheuza Chassidusha. Okay? Rabbi, I don't see any Strimel. I don't think anyone here wears a Strimel here. But after I'm going to tell you, you're all going to be wearing strimals the Shabbos. Except for me, not me. I wouldn't do that no matter what. But what do Hasidim do? What do they love to do? They say L'shem Yichud, right? Before you do a mitzvah, the hachana. The hachana for the sometimes even long in the mitzvah itself. L'shem Yichud, Kudsh Brichu, you say L'shem Yichud. So the Yisoid V'sharish HaAvoid, he was not satisfied saying L'shem Yichud once. Before he did every mitzvah, it says in the Sefer, I'm not making this up over here, Lifnei Shekim Kol Mitzvah Omar Sholosh Pa'amim Tefilas L'shem Yichud. You hear? You ever see a chassid? No one's a chassid. No, three times he said L'shem Yichud before he did any mitzvah. Why three times? So I'm reading you, I'm not making this stuff up here. That's what it says. Pamachas Omar L'shem Yichud for the unification Chud Shebrichu U'Shechinte Hashem and Neshchina Hineni Reitze La'asos Nachas Ruach L'Bari. I want to do the following mitzvah to give satisfaction to my Creator. And I guess he would say whatever he wanted to say. Okay, once, done. Now we're up to the second round. He had a different L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Chud Shebrichu U'Shechinte Hineni Reitze L'Kaye Mitzvahs Kibud Av L'chabed Es Oviv Shebegan Eden. I'm doing this mitzvah now in order to give my father in Gan Eden a nachas ruach.
Okay.
Third, then he said L'shem Yichud a third time. Hineni L'shem Yichud Kusha B'chu Shechinte B'dechilu U'rechim B'liachay Shem Yichud K'bavav Yichud B'chilu V'hineni Reitze V'chulu V'chulu Hineni Reitze L'kayim Mitzvahs Kibud Eim. I'm doing this to give my mother in Gan Eden Nachas Ruach. Could you imagine, Ad Kedei Kach, every mitzvah that you do is an honor for your parents, Ad Kedei Kach, that the Yisoid V'sharish Ravaidu, who lived about 150 years ago, maybe a little bit more, 200 years ago, when he went and did a mitzvah, he said L'Shem Yichud three times, one to give Hashem Nachas Ruach, one to give his mother, and one to give his father. Okay, isn't that, that's an incredible chiddush. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further, a couple of quick things. Let's talk about a goy. A goy who's megayer. Does he say Kaddish and his father passes away? Should he, can he say Kaddish for his father? The answer is yes, absolutely. Absolutely, his father brought him into this world. It is proper. Yes, Sit Shiva, yes. He sits Shiva, and he says Kaddish for his father. That's an easy Shiloh. That's an old Shiloh. Everyone knows that already, that a Ger Tzedek does say Kaddish Yud Beis Chodesh for, the prot all the way to the very end, or maybe only, probably the same thing, 11 months, whatever it is, for his father. That's an old Shiloh. Here's a Shiloh that I never saw before, and I found to be very fascinating. A goy is megayer, the ger tzedek, gets married to a nice, fine Jewish girl, and they have a baby, baby boy, mazel tov, makes a bris, and he says, I want to make my father, the goy, the tzaddik. Can a ger tzedek, you can have by anyone, you don't have a ger tzedek, but it's very common, the question is commonly asked by a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek marries a Jewish girl, he has a baby, he wants to be mechabed, his father's going to be by the bris, he wants to give his father sandikos, the father of the goy. Can you do this? So, what would you say?
Yes.
Mr. Horowitz, what would you say?
Yes.
Trick question, huh?
Yes.
Okay, what are the issues? This, it seems to be, I learned this recently, you know, I learned something very recently, that sometimes when Talmidei Chacham say some things and they write things, they don't really mean it. It's just they get really worked up. They get so worked up, they write extreme things that they don't really mean to be taken literally. They mean it just in order to express your frustration. I never really appreciated that until very recently. I saw this two times. I saw this two examples in different things. And over here, there is a Shal Shuv, so I don't know who this person is, and he writes, and it's called Zikan Aaron. Reish Mem Tes, who is this? Chibur HaGon of Aaron Wolkin. Hashem Yikom Damoy. Warsaw Ghetto?
No, Queens?
Those is, yeah, the
Queens.
Queens.
It's crime
organization. Aaron Wilkins, that's Al Hashem Yikom Domoy. He was killed. No lie,
that's the grandfather.
Okay, in Russia. He was born in Russia. Okay, he was from the Mechirei Talmid HaGadol HaNetziv. Mevolozhin. He was from the Talmidim of the Netziv in Volozhin, it says. He writes here, better don't have a bris milah than have a bris milah with a sandik as a goy. That's how, that is how much this halacha enraged him. Okay, now, does he really mean that literally? I don't think so. I can't imagine someone would say that. That's not halachically correct, right? But you see in what he says, the horror, what it meant to him to be a sandik, and what it means, the sugya being a sandikois. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? You're going to give a goy, a ger tzedek is going to give a goy sandikois. It bothered him to such a degree that he had no shame in writing, better don't let the baby have a bris milah. It should be a whole life in Orel, then have a goy be a sandik. Woo! That's clearly not the halacha, but it goes.
A person is not Shomer Shabbos, there's a sandik.
Person, okay, we're not discussing one thing at a time. We're not discussing that. We're talking about a goy, okay? We're out of time, okay? Now, there's a very big. That goes to show the sensitivity to this issue. Now, what is the problem with. What is a halachic problem with that issue? There's a halachic problem. It's not really a halachic problem, but it is in the car. Who was the sandik of Avraham Avinu? Oh. The Ershti Yid? Mamre, it says in Chazal that Mamre was the one who gave Avraham Avinu advice on the Bris Milah.
Right.
And therefore, as a reward, Avraham Avinu made him the sandik. There are different Mamre Chazal. Mamre was a goy. And Mamre was the first sandik in Jewish history. So if Mamre was a goy, and it was okay for Avraham Avinu, it's okay for the Ger Tzedek to be mechabed his father with the mitzvah of kibud avoim to make his father the goy a sandik.
Now get a little goy.
All right, I know you before Matan Torah. I know all the classic answers. Okay, we're out of time. After all the classic answers before Matan Torah, I mean, it was different. Bottom line, this is going to really shock you. The mechaber of this sefer, he sent a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. What is the psak? What is the bottom line? What's the end, the maskana? Can a ger tzedek converts? His father is a goy, and he has his first baby, and his father's good to him. He brought him into this world. He has a good relationship. He probably is paying for the bris also, the father, right? He's probably paying for the bris. And he wants to mechabed his father. Can a ger tzedek mechabed his father, a goy? And if Chaim Kanievsky paskind, mutter.
Yes, I
do. The halacha is permitted. It is permitted for a goy to be a sandik.
Maybe he's going there.
That's right. You're saying something very good. You know, you're saying something, you're really saying, Jared, when Jared had his last, what he had to lay, he made a bris. Who was the sandik there? Very, he didn't come. Trump did not come to the bris. Trump did not come. I remember now. He did not come to the bris. He did not come to the bris. Yeah, they have three kids. He did not come to the bris. That's right. If he would have come to the bris, it's taka very interesting. It would be a celebrity case. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Paskin, it's muta. Everyone will be talking about this. What?
It was the Ger Tzedek with his father. Just keep it up.
So you want? Okay.
I'm not sure. You're jumping to a conclusion.
Well, by Trump, you say by Trump, because it's not his father. Because it's Shver. It is Shver. Okay, I hear you. You're saying you can't be rubbing a raya from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is paskin only on a father, not on a father-in-law. The mitzvah of kibud av v'aim is not the same. There is a mitzvah of t'mechabed your father-in-law. That's what's parasha Yisro. There was no question about that. But the mitzvah of kibud of your father-in-law is not the same as the covenant you give to your father. So he's saying it's not necessarily a raya to a father-in-law. Okay, one last thing. One last thing. Okay, about Noach. On Rosh Hashanah, isn't it very interesting on Noach, Rosh Hashanah, the Gaham is Noach, but Ahava Zochartu. What is Noach doing? What do you have to mention Noach? A whole nusach of the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah? Noach? Since when? Since when? I know you'll give me answers about Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom Adin for the Gansu Olam, for the Goyim also. There are a lot of good answers. But I have a whole new answer over here that totally is my mind. There's a Medrash. The Medrash is an incredible Medrash. The Medrash says that all goes through, it's a very detailed Medrash, all the generations, the children lived very, very long lives because they were mechaber their parents. Why did they live to the year 1,000, or close with it, 900, 800? They all lived up to 800, 900 in that generation, 7, 8, 9. Why? So the Medrash says because they were very, very machmir on the mitzvah of kibud avoim. When a child was born, it was accepted, you take care of your father no matter what. They were slaves to their parents. They appreciated that they came from parents and they were mechabe their parents. But, listen to this, no one was willing to be mechabe their grandparents. All of the Medrash, all of the descendants from Adam all until Noach, when they were presented with, can you take care of your grandfather? No, that's your responsibility. I will go to the end of the world to take care of my father, and because of that, they were zeich leman yarichon yamecha. They were zeich to live almost to 1,000 years old. No one made it that far. Most was 970, I think. 969. They lived very, because the Medrash says, because that generation understood what it meant, leman kabedes levichav yasimech, and they did. But those generations had a very big chasarin. They did not extended to their grandparents. I'll be mechaved my parents. My grandparents, no. That's my parents' responsibility, not mine. And I'm not going to do anything special. I'll visit grandma and grandpa. I'll send them a birthday card, and I'll come visit. But I'm not going to go give up my life for my grandparents. My parents, yes. Noach, the Medrash says, incredible insight, was the first person in this world that put his foot down and said, the duty of kibud avoim extends to your grandparents as well. Now, I know in halacha, there's halacha that if your father asks you to bring you a glass of water and your grandfather asks you to bring you a glass of water, you give your father, not your grandfather. That's correct. But it doesn't mean you spit on your grandfather. Okay? The grandfather, there's a mitzvah of kibud avoim, and you should know that not everyone agrees to the pesach halacha. There are pesach halacha that say that you give your grandfather first. There are we shouldn't have disagreed. That's not fair. We had a whole show on that once upon time. Noach, the Medrash says, was the first person that said, if I am obligated to honor my father, that automatically means I have an obligation to honor my grandfather. Noach had a different understanding of what a father is. A father is a chain in heritage and legacy. And when you look at what is the meaning of Kabbat Avich V'Yasimecha? They're different. There's a hakira. My father brought me into this world. Okay, so that's my grandfather. He didn't bring me into this world. That's his problem. But if you look at a father as not just the person who brought you into this world, but a father as a chain, a link of legacy of where you come from, that automatically demands that you don't stop with your father. You go to your grandfather and your great-grandfather. Noach was the one that was mechadesh. The mitzvah of kibud avoim is not just dry. Who brought me into this world? You? Okay, it's my obligation. It's more than that. You, my father, you didn't just bring me into this world. You're part of a heritage, a chain, a link to Adam HaRishon, to the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's what kibud avoim is, then guess what? My grandfather also. My great-grandfather. He understood that. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? Zuchus Avos. The whole Rosh Hashanah. A, B, C, D. From beginning to end is all about the Akedah. Zuchus Avos. We're going all the way back. You know who we need to bring in to the team on Rosh Hashanah to get us back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Zuchus Avos, the Gam Es Noyach Ba'ahava Zucharta. Because if we don't have Noyach, we don't have his contribution of what Kibud Av Va'Em is all about, we're dead in the water. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, long ago. Who's your parents? They're right here in Shul. That's all you got. That's where Zuchus Avos ends, with your parents. But if you take Noach and understand, you embrace him, V'gamis Noach ba'ahavo zocharta, he had a different appreciation of Kibud Av Va'Em. He was the one that was preserved. V'gam, and then he says so far to say here, he cites these sources, that's why he was called a tzaddik. There are many reasons why he's called a tzaddik. You know why he's called a tzaddik? You're a tzaddik because you understand what Kibud Av Va'Em is. It's like a medrash. Unbelievable. Why is it called a tzaddik? Because of the Messiah all the way back. Wow, it's very. I'm sorry for keeping you so late. I'm sorry for keeping you so late.